The Wake Up Zone, 104.5 The Zone, 918. Good to have you here. Mark Howard and Wade Bishop alongside him. Kevin Ingram. Jonathan Schaefer is our producer. Let's bring in Chris Dortch now from Blue Ribbon. The Final Four is coming up on Saturday, only a couple days away as the college basketball season winds down in the NCAA tournament. And Chris joins us now. Chris, what's going on this morning?
Hey, how are you, man?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Looking forward to seeing you later today.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going down to Chattanooga a little bit later where Chris teaches college. I'm going to be part of Professor.
Let me do that.
Professor Dortch's class,
shaping young minds.
It's really impressive.
Warping them, whatever.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah. The two, right?
Chris does a great job, and the students are very appreciative of his advice and help with the their careers. It's really cool. You do a great job.
Well, they I built you up, so
no pressure.
Kevin does a great job too. I don't want us to stray off track here, but people need to know how generous with his time Kevin is. He comes and won't take any money, and he did it in the fall, and he's going to do it to my spring class as well. And he just shares his a lot. He's got a lot of recent stuff to show us, and of course there's the legendary Coach K impersonation.
Yes, we do some of that too. So some of it's not for broadcasters.
You know, since Chris, since Kevin's moment during the Yale LSU game on Press Row, he now does charge a fee. He's a brand.
I wasn't going to tell you that until I got down there.
There was a call that I didn't pick up, and I checked on my answer machine, and it said something about Kevin getting an agent.
Oh, no. Chris,
that was a classic. He's going to be on One Shining Moment, I guarantee it.
I know.
We were just talking about that. I don't know. We'll see. When you look at these four teams, Chris, in the Final Four, you can make a case for any of them, can't you, with the way they played throughout this tournament?
Gosh, you really could. I've had a feeling, guys, about Michigan State for a long time. And I don't know what it is because they've been injured and beaten up all year, but they've got that great point guard Cassius Winston, who can, you've seen UConn do it a couple of times in the last 6-8 years, ride a great point guard all the way to the promised land. So, and they've got depth, and Dan Dockich had a great quote about the kid that is Odoka. Dockich is such an acerbic guy, but he said something to the effect like, "Oh, I see that he's been so affected by what all these self-righteous columnists have been saying that his abuse, but actually the kid's been playing like gangbusters." So, don't tell Tom Izzo how to coach. Thank you. Texas Tech, Chris Beard, I keep hearing that we may end up seeing him in the SEC. I think Arkansas is going to back a Brinks truck up to his house, but I don't know that they'll get him. He's a Texan. He loves it there, and he's just he's one of the best coaches in terms of quick impact, similar to what Bruce Pearl did at Tennessee that I've ever seen. His team guards relentlessly, and the irony of it, guys, is that Tariq Owens has been such a key part of their defense. You remember he started at Tennessee.
Yep.
I often wonder if he'd have stayed there and allowed Kyle Alexander to redshirt, and Kyle would be back next year probably as an NBA draft pick. So then the other game, I'll tell you what, Auburn has frightened me for a while, too, just like not in the same way that I have faith in Michigan State. I think Michigan State will win it all, but Auburn is scary because they play with such abandon. Their defense is pesky. It's a lot more aggressive than when Bruce was at Tennessee. I think he learned some things in that 3 years of NCAA purgatory because he went around the country, watched a lot of practices, called games, sat in the studio with Seth Greenberg, and I think he changed a little bit. I think his defense dictates more of his offense than it used to. I don't think he presses quite as much because of it. He doesn't have to. But the thing that's so scary about them guys, they think nothing of throwing up 43 pointers. It's, you know, par for the course. And if they make 10 to 15, they think they can beat you. And so that's what Virginia's going to have to watch out for. Virginia's is not going to be able to, I don't think, to play that pack line, because if they dare Auburn to shoot it, that's just playing into their hands, and Auburn will bury them like they have everybody else so far.
Chris Dortch is our guest from Blue Ribbon, talking about the Final Four and more college hoops.
Well, Chris, here with Vandy, there's talk of Jerry Stackhouse maybe being the front runner here, but who do you think would be a good fit for Vandy?
Well, it's funny you asked. I just heard had a good source with whom I've communicated a great deal over the last 5 or 6 years, a guy that I trust, a guy that would know, and said something to the effect that there was some interest in Shaka Smart, and he didn't know whether Shaka would in fact take it, but I'll tell you, if it were me, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked at Texas. I think Shaka would do a great job at Virginia, but I don't know if that's realistic. I think a realistic choice, you could go pick him up in a taxi or an Uber. You know, it's Casey Alexander. And Kevin would know this more than me. He may be the heir apparent at Belmont. I don't know, but that guy's an excellent coach. He's learned his lessons well from the master, and I think he'd be ready. Now, they'd probably be wary of hiring a coach from a mid-major, successful though he may have been, because of the example of Bryce Drew. But Casey Alexander is not Bryce Drew. I can assure you of that. He'd be the guy I'd call first. This infatuation with NBA guys, if you look at it, it doesn't work that often. I mean, Tulane just fired Mike Dunleavy. Isaiah couldn't get it done. And he also wrecked a whole minor league of basketball. it just doesn't translate. People don't understand about recruiting, about dealing with alumni and fans and all the other responsibilities. You know, making sure kids go to class. It's a whole different atmosphere. You know, limited practice time versus unlimited at the next level. I just don't get it. I'm sure Jerry Stackhouse is a good guy. His pedigree is impeccable. He comes from the Carolina family tree. But, guys, you're talking about putting him in a snake pit now. I mean, since Texas A&M hired Buzz Williams, he's a bad boy now. And there is excellent coaching up and down the board. I don't know what's going to happen yet at LSU, but I've heard some rumors there too. And I'm sure Arkansas, they didn't fire Mike Anderson to hire a dog, and they can hire somebody good with their facilities and all. So the Stackhouse thing, the NBA infatuation, you know, that's obviously where the new AD. That's where he has his connections. He has connections with USA Basketball, and I guess it's only natural to go back to those connections, but I just don't get it. Throwing in an inexperienced guy in this, like I said, this lion's den of coaches in the SEC now.
Chris, how great a story is Lipscomb? You were talking about Casey, going up tonight against Texas in the NIT final. And, yeah, you know, everybody would rather play in the NCAA tournament. But Lipscomb has gotten some great attention with their run, done exclusively on the road. Garrison Matthews, how spectacular he's been, and just, you know, how Casey's stock has risen, but also just this marvelous run.
Well, it's been great, Mark. And when I think of this, I think about a conversation I had with Dave Odom, the old Wake Forest and South Carolina coach, and he'd won a couple of NITs, and I said, you know, what's your deal? What's your take on the NIT? How do you prepare your kids after an extreme disappointment about being left out of the dance? And he said it's pretty simple, really. You know, there's only two teams in the country, and that's before all these alphabet soup tournaments came along. I can't even keep track of them all. CBI, CIT, all that stuff. Nobody cares. But the NIT, since the NCAA took it over, it's become a lot bigger deal. And he said there, at the time, he said there was only two teams that could say that they finished their season with a victory, and we could be one of them. And why not get as most out of this trip as we can? And Casey, somebody put a camera in his locker room, I think, before the last game, and he said pretty much the same thing. I mean, we've got a chance to still be one of those two that's left standing. And from a coaching standpoint, it's invaluable. You're playing this deep into April and all the practices that come with it and media exposure. People know who they are now. They saw Garrison Matthews drop 44 on NC State and taunting the fans. Not taunting them, just giving it back to them, you know, what they deserved. And, you know, they see some tough cats there and guys that are given the green light to play with abandon if you earn it. And I think it's invaluable. You cannot pay for the exposure they've gotten and the experience they've gotten and what it's done for him as a coach and Lipscomb as a program.
Chris, great stuff. Thanks for the time.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right, see you a little bit later. That's Chris Dortch from Blue Ribbon joining us here on the Wake Up Zone talking college basketball with Final Four Saturday on deck and also, of course, Lipscomb playing Texas tonight in the NIT Finals. We'll have that for you right here on the Zone.